The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Warning, today's podcast contains an averted Brady Bunch disaster, a brief yet thrilling discussion of Kathy Ireland's business ventures, a revelation that's as shocking as a bird in the face, and a less than comprehensive exploration of Kings Island with Dave Ferguson. It's amazing in here. It's Podcast The Ride.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the theme park podcast so thorough we will eventually do an episode about every King Arthur carousel horse. It'll be a 68-part series. Look forward to that next year sometime. I'm Scott Gardner, joined by Mike Carlson.
Every horse has a backstory.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
And we'll make one up.
Yep.
And Jason Sheridan.
Can't wait to get to those horses.
I mean, the red saddled one is different than the blue saddle one is different than the blue with the gold trim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is different than the silver with the with the purple trim.
And if you don't know that, you're trash.
You shouldn't be able to turn around right now. Not the podcast for you. But you know who is invited and who's hanging out with us today? One of my favorite folks. I'm so glad he's here. From the Birthday Boys, from Comedy Bang Bang, from Sarah Silverman's I Love You America. It's Dave Ferguson.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, it's
so
good.
Happy to have you. Hello.
You know,
hello.
That carousel is not all horses, right?
I think, yeah, that's
chairs
good,
and other things.
There's a bench or two.
Yeah. So you're going to do a bench episode.
Oh, yep. I'm a big fan of the bench on a carousel.
That'll be nice to break up the flow, actually. Yeah. It's maybe the most unique episode.
Everybody does the kid that ran for the bench.
Yeah, because I have tall legs, so sometimes they bang into the ground if you're on a horse. Not bang, but you have to hold them up. But like if I'm trying to have fun and not put them in the stirrups, put my feet in the stirrups,
right?
I can't. Cause
well, not to mention your big balls.
Yeah, yeah. The giant balls.
Trying to straddle those horses.
Yeah, that's impossible. There's no, like, there should be a groove in it in case you have giant balls.
The Carlson groove.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the bench is perfect for a large, bald, tall-legged man like me.
You got to go carve out the ball space in advance if you want to take that ride. Most places aren't letting you do that.
That sucks.
Dave, you're here to talk about probably your childhood theme park or what you grew up with.
Other than the local wine. YMCA,
which we will also do an episode about too.
Yeah, Kings Island.
Kings Island. Which you, and when we were talking about topics, you also mentioned Cedar Point. You spent a lot of time at, but I feel like partially selfishly, I wanted to talk about Kings Island, and I'm glad you wanted to do so. I've been to Kings Island. I was lucky enough to go, and I have very fond feelings towards it.
Yeah, it's a great park. I can't wait to talk about it. How old were you when you went?
I went in 2005. I was in college. College girlfriend is when sort of in the Cincinnati Columbus area, so she set up a special Kings Island day. It was a blast. We also went to the Ohio State Fair, where we saw the Zombies perform, I'd seen the Zombies before. That's a great band to see at a state fair. And also Denny Lane, who is the Lesser Wing.
Of course.
Who performed
Lane is.
But you may be the only person listening who does.
My mom does.
Uh-huh.
Hey, my mom and dad.
Shout out to Mike's mom. Shout out to Denny Lane. That concert was weird because he, like, it felt a little tepid. It just wasn't like, and he was playing a lot of songs that he didn't write. And then at the end, he's kind of guilting you with like, put your hands in the air for George, put your hands in the air for John, for Linda. He's like,
what?
Associating, he's like dredging up the guilt you might have, like forcing your hands into the air to pay homage to those who passed, rather than propelling them into the air via his rock skills.
It sounds like, it doesn't sound like the normal Denny Lane show I've always heard about. I'll tell you that. It sounds like real weird, real
not
unusual.
The ones you read about in Spin magazine.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
Pack is still packing them in 30 years later. That Denny heat.
In 2005, where were you at with your like going on rides?
Oh, that's a good question.
Are you at the heat, like, are you at the peak power of like, I will go on a roller coaster to impress a girl?
Yes. Jenna, my girlfriend, made me do things more than Aaron has, my now wife, has made me do. Wow. So I was kind of stretched beyond my typical roller coaster limits.
Because you said in the past you've ridden the Beast, right?
I did ride the Beast.
Which is sort of one of the signature rides of King's Island.
And on the more intense end of rides that I've been on, I did the Racer. And I like both of them. Neither of those were like upsetting experiences. The only one that was upsetting to me was Tomb Raider. Have you done Tomb Raider?
Well, it's changed names many times, but I think the ride now known as Tomb Raider, I think I've done it. Or are you talking about the Universal?
No, Tomb Raider being that there was a, they did a, like an indoor,
I had to look this up in my memory lane trip, but it was not called Tomb Raider when I last
went. Probably, was it called The Crypt?
Yeah.
I believe was the public domain version of it.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it sporadically operated after, like the effects wouldn't have been at 100%.
Right.
Like,
well, it's funny because it's so exciting to talk about this through your lens, because to me, it was the local park. I didn't know that the Beast had national appeal.
I know the Beast,
it's critical, yeah,
because there was a very popular YA like thriller horror book called The Beast that takes place
inspired
in King's Island.
Ooh, does someone get hit by a bird in the face in The Beast?
No, they travel back in time, probably to the original park that inspired Coney Island, which used to be down the road from this.
Yes.
And then there was a sequel to the book called Son of Beast, like that came out in conjunction with like
the actual
that
King's Island ride.
Yeah, that ride opening, or the announcement of that ride opening. But this was like a Goosebumps, you know, Fear Street style like horror book, and it's about King's Island, and it's
about
the Beast, and about kids who get stuck in the past and then they have to get back to the future via the I guess the Beast sent them back in time. I forget now.
Yeah,
I really should have looked up more about the plot of this, but we'll post
it
on the Twitter
and I'll
account.
You back.
Yeah,
that is amazing, because like I mean, I was into those books, and I may have just not made the connection or the overlap or didn't assume it. But that is that's some exciting stuff right there.
This was like a weird one-off book.
This is up there with the Wright brothers being from Dayton, Ohio. That's like my only other claim to fame for my own time.
Yeah,
you finally have some points of pride. And you're, I don't know where he's from, but it's got to be around where you grew or in the area. But Neil Armstrong, I believe. And
we're
because,
Armstrong country, yeah.
Sure, sure. Do you feel that growing? Is there some museum? Is there some way to pay?
Aeronautics is a huge deal in Dayton, Ohio. So the Wright brothers are from Dayton. There's a bunch of famous astronauts. So they have this is the old debate with North Carolina of first in flight. Whether it be where the Wright brothers had their first flight, or whether they were born in Dayton, what's more important for your little license plate debate? But like, so like that was a, like flight. There's a Flight of Fear ride at King's Island.
Oh,
like
yeah.
They always tie in aeronautics into Ohio theme parks.
Oh,
there is
I didn't
a bunch
that.
Of stuff, because there was the Top Gun coaster that then became the Flight Deck coaster.
Yep. And the Paramount
the history
years.
Of this park. Yeah, it's fascinating. They've had four different owners, starting with Taft Broadcasting, who opened it in 72. Then Paramount owned it from 1992 to 2006. And then Cedar Fair owns it now.
Right.
Three different. Yeah. So three different owners. And is there
Wait,
who one?
Did you miss? Did
there
you
might
miss
be
Paramount?
Else in there.
Taft, Paramount, and Cedar Fair.
There was another like mini one that I was. There was too dry of a fact for
yeah,
me to
yeah,
write
yeah.
down.
I think in that. Well, the, and also, so it was owned by Paramount in the years that I enjoyed it most. So from the '90s, early 2000s, and they would brand it up. And then there was this weird, awkward year before they sold it to the Cedar Company, where like. It was still owned by Viacom, but they were taking all the branding
Very
off, so it was
slowly,
just caught in between. Yeah,
they were okay. Like the rights had all run out, so they were dismantled. They were taking down. Like I was just looking at video, just like walking around the park. You can catch like there's a poster for the Untouchables up or something like that, or Days of Thunder.
They had the Wayne's World car on there for a long time, and I was so excited to double check if it was real. It was not. It was not real.
Yeah.
They had the Mirthmobile there, and then they paramounted it up during the Paramount years, and now all those like the they just restored a bunch of old names. Like one ride is now called the Bat, which is an old Coney Island ride. You know, they just like kind of went back, which is probably great for nostalgic value. I just haven't been back to enjoy the
you
debranding.
I see. Which is our primary concern. Like if brands are stripped and unstripped, that we got to be there. I was there, I guess, in the height of Paramount, in which a ride was one of my favorite rides. There was the Italian Job stunt coaster.
Stunt show, yeah.
The fact that there was I was thinking like there's the Italian Job has to be one of the greatest disparities of popular like most like how like everlasting the film is versus there was a ride of it for a long time, which doesn't really reflect the movie. I mean, you could call this the same ride could also be like Fast and Furious, the roller coaster.
This is probably a great topic for this podcast because it applies to all theme parks or movie theme parks, which is like, a good movie doesn't necessarily equal a good ride.
No, you know, but bad movies sometimes make like
great
good
rides.
Like the Waterworld stunt show is great, but I don't know that I ever need to watch all 3 hours of Waterworld again.
Totally, like that sequence where Tarzan and the animated Disney Tarzan movie where he's like surfing on the vines.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good ride.
Yeah.
Bad movie.
It's possible somebody might not like Avatar.
Yes,
it's possible, but the land is great. I mean, I like both the movie and the land. I'm saying but it's possible. So, like, you could enjoy Pandora.
Some psychopath out there might not enjoy the breadth of the Akron's wings.
Right, and so you obviously like Sivako, rise to the challenge is the motto everyone has that goes into Pandora. And
some of these movies were probably conceived as rides.
Yes.
And then they're like, we got to make the damn movie before we can make the ride.
That's why I want to make movie and TV shows so I can
make a ride. I believe this.
Yeah.
It is entirely.
I don't give a shit about.
I did my show with Dayton native Rob Lowe. And there was a moment in promoting it at Comic-Con, we got to do a laser tag experience for the show, which was only open for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But they like made an immersive environment based on the show that was like still a year away from premiering. And I remember people saying like, we might never see Scott again. He might like bail here.
It is the most fun thing. I think it brings together probably what people who would start such a podcast love the most of all these elements of creativity. Like we did a dumb thing for Birthday Boys where Tim Kalpagos had this character that was Glanard Frugner, which was like a crappy Walt Disney.
Oh yes,
the and he Disney. Had a Frugner Land, which is kind of this inferior Disney. And pitching on what the attractions at Frugnerland are remains the most joy I've gotten out of a writing process in all of life.
I wish I could summon them offhand. I remember loving the sketch. Do you remember Frugnerland sketches offhand?
Not a one. I know a lot of them were just based on like removing what's fun about like a roller coaster that's just flat. You know, like that kind of. But it's still like the specifics of amusement park go very well with our dumb brains. I think that's like that's why Roller Coaster Tycoon is a best selling game.
I also revisiting this stuff because I have never been to Kings Island.
Okay.
But a number of times my family went to Kings Dominion growing up in Virginia,
which was
owned by the same Kings Entertainment Company as Kings Island and Carowinds and Great America. One of the parks called Great America. And then there was a Canadian park too.
Canada's Wonderland.
They didn't officially own, but they operate. It's some weird
Paramount
legal
ended
nonsense.
Up owning 80% of it, and there is an episode of
Partridge Family. Or
well, no, that's King's Island. But there's a Canada's Wonderland has an episode of this crazy Canadian show called The Littlest Hobo. It's about a dog who wanders from town to town,
and
helps people with their problems, and then keeps moving on. I had this run of like watching. They're all on YouTube. I watched every Littlest Hobo for a little while, and then being at this dull brown Canadian theme park.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's
it's your sweet
spot. Scott Gardner. That's the wheelhouse.
Well,
right there.
It's really interesting. Because like the first time I ever went to Disney World, having only ever experienced Kings Island and Cedar Point, it was a pretty huge mind melter because I had never experienced a story park. You know, I mean, Kings Island and Cedar Point are amazing amusement parks. I now realize in hindsight, even on like a world scale, they're like world class. But they don't mess around with them frills, baby.
No. I think I put these parks, at least during the Paramount, I think I would have gone once or twice, like, pre-Paramount, but, like, they always had the Hanna-Barbera characters.
Yes.
Until, like, 2012
A cheaper licensing deal.
Yeah. And so, like, I remember that when I was very young, and then I remember all this Paramount stuff showed up. And I didn't really ride coasters a lot as a kid, but like I remember the Nickelodeon stuff came like in the mid-90s. And then I was telling Mike, I don't think this was in King's Island, but in King's Dominion, there was a Busy World of Richard Scarry restaurants.
Wow, we did not have that.
I think I ate like every meal there that I could. I thought it was great. I think like the this might have been like right around the time that the cartoon series was starting. I mean, I definitely had the books as a kid. But I just thought that was great. And then there was the Flight of Fear in Virginia was called the Outer Limits, Flight of Fear.
Yep.
Even though, like, none of us had seen the Flight of...
Same with King's
the
Island.
Outer Limits in year. Like, that wasn't, like...
And this is a launch coaster for people who haven't read it, right? That's the one that takes off from zero to whatever...
And it's got like an Alien 51 vibe to it. But I remember like, all the Paramount stuff coming up. I think there was also a Star Trek on Ice, I seem to remember.
Oh, yeah, I know. We have to figure that out.
Show.
We talked about, somebody brought that up on another show, Star Trek on Ice.
So we're going to have to do. We'll cover Kingston Inland specifically.
But there's a lot less stuff about them. There was a lot more things of like the Mason-Dixon Theater, and there was a coaster called the Rebel Yell. There was a lot more Southern. That name has been changed since then.
Wow. There was some regional appeal to Kingston Island.
Yeah, there was some regional appeal. But I also, like, looking back on this, realizing between this and Disney and Universal, like, I learned so much about movie studios as a kid. I was like, the stuff I liked was like MGM and Universal and Paramount, and I would like know who made, like, I was like, well, clearly these people made this movie and these people made this movie.
You knew about brand alliances and bits
and
umbrella.
Synergy and
you were indoctrinated.
And but you still are very fond of the Paramount brand specifically to this day.
And as a kid, that the summers we would go to King's Dominion, like, I mean, I knew Disney and Universal were like the next level, but this I was also plenty happy with. This level
and
of theming and stuff.
And it's a thrill park first and foremost. Same way, it is about like getting up your gumption to get on a crazy coaster. I mean, that is like the main draw. So a little goes a long way with the story, because at least for me, this is like the park of my teen years when you don't care about the kiddie stuff, storybook land, or nostalgia. You're living life on the very edge.
Yeah, you also don't care about death because you'll live forever.
Yes, and it was a perfect park for that time. Like, I have so many, all of my memories are tied to like walking around with groups of preteens, which is a very different way to experience a park than going with your kids or even in your 30s and reliving what you think was great about your youth.
Well, this is something I feel like every time we talk about one of these parks, inevitably the word horny shows up. Because you're there when you're preteens, because it's a local park. So, like, when you're 15 years old, there's boys, there's girls. There's a whole element of, like, who are you going to see? Who you...
Our eighth grade graduation trip, so the big reward of the culmination of your K through 8 experience, was a co-ed trip to Kings Island.
And that's a whole thing, because you're out, you're not in school, you're not in your parents' house.
Wait, was co-ed not the note where you at a boys' school and like it merged with the girls' school?
I guess by default, every experience was co-ed.
Okay, it wasn't a special.
But no, it seemed notable for the same things that Carlson's pointing out, which is just like, yeah, this was, you were allowed, you were still under total supervision, but you were allowed to kind of walk around the park somewhat freely, and that was very different than the school norm.
Sure.
It was akin to a dance with 1,000 feet high roller coasters abounding.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've been with your wife since you were both 9 years old, correct?
Yes, so that's true.
You didn't have time to...
Honestly, that is true.
Yeah, what's the actual timeline?
Most of my memories of those kind of pre-teeny teen trips were more about like just being mischievous. Like I remember an entire day of walking around the park because we had gotten on one of the log rides, or not one of the log rides, one of the rides that had a water element and the seat was wet. You know, and we thought that was annoying or whatever. We started asking people how their butt water was. Just, you know, like walking up to people in a very prepubescent way just to get a rise out of people and saying, how is your butt water? And that's not funny now. I doubt it was that funny then.
I disagree with that. I think that's funny.
But it was,
it was like the culmination of like a great teen mischievous experience. Harmless,
yeah.
Stupid.
Harmless and stupid.
Confusing,
yeah.
Confusing. Probably probably your most common response was, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was. And that was enough to get a pretty good laugh.
But what's the ideal reaction? Is it like a harumphy lady, like, my word?
Right. I think you want an indignant response, if anything. I don't remember.
Or to have somebody go to, like, the security guard and say, you know what these guys said about butt water. Can you have them removed from the park? And they're like, nah, man, anything goes here. And then he gives you beer.
Yeah, that would be the supreme. Not in our wildest dreams did we think we could achieve it. But yeah, I mean, Kings Island, the other thing that's notable about Kings Island is it does have an attached water park. But what's unique here is that they're in direct competition with a giant water park across the road called The Beach. And The Beach was an attraction like big enough unto itself to be worth the 1 hour drive for my family. So like, we never like equated the Kings Island trip with a water park trip. I mean, having to pack your wet swimsuit.
That
for
was a lot of, yeah, my, I remember my parents having to do the, like, all right, we got to have a bag because they're going to have to put their bathing suits on and we'll have to have the dry clothes and then there's towels, right? Like, right. It's so...
So we always did one or the other.
Yeah.
But they had a great, the theme song for Kings Island, this is really weird branding. It was like a song, a jingle that was like, in the 90s, it was like, come to the beach, ooh-oh, it's easy to reach, right across from the island.
So that it's was marketing the beach. While referencing the competitor.
That was the beach's
pitch, basically.
Is we're right across from
we're by the other thing you really want to go to. So just come here.
Yeah. Well, and now there's also, now I don't know if this has replaced the beach or not, but it's replaced, like, there used to be a Kings Island hotel, like a Kings Island inn close by that they closed a few years ago. And now they say, like, maybe you should stay at the Great Wolf Lodge down the road, which is a combined, we have one of those
park.
in Orange County. It's it is an indoor water park with a hotel built into it.
Wow. That's kind of, it is really crazy. Like, Ohio must be a natural magnet for this type of attraction. It's landlocked. It's, well, other than the Great Lakes, which are legit. But, you know, it just has that kind of easy to reach appeal for the region. Because Cedar Point is huge. Kings Island's huge. There's a lot of little parks like that and like kind of highway attraction level things that have just like survived the test of time because they don't have to compete. Probably the same way.
Is there anything that around there that gives you like an actual beach? Where would you go if was it to a lake or two?
Yeah, you could go to the Great Lakes in the summer, which is great. It's like a very much a boating culture. Or a lot of people would hit like Virginia Beach, go east, down the Atlantic seaboard.
Gotcha.
But for us, it was like we were either going down to Disney World and making a huge trip of it, or like a lot of like Dollywood is not far. That's Tennessee.
Oh, you had gone...
Mm-hmm. I've been to Dollywood.
We've had a lot of people who've been to Dollywood. What are your Dollywood feelings?
It's got a real Smoky Mountains theme, which like it sits in the Smoky Mountains. So as you drive in, you're driving through like a natural preserve on a 2-lane like cool road, and there's like black bear themed things all over the place. There's like an alpine slide you can ride. It's a park in an actual cool part of the country that people wouldn't think to visit. You know, it's like got a big natural appeal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. actual natural
beauty. We'll be going. We have to take a
trip. It's worth a trip.
Yeah. But you can doesn't that seem like, I don't want to like say too much, but doesn't it seem like our best like shot in terms of like maybe like outreach?
We
like
have
maybe
got,
we put out a little bit of PR.
Let's say this. A number of different people have offered us free things in regards to Dollywood.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah, Dollywood's
been our most progress so
far.
Yeah,
wow. We've tried to reach out. We've reached out to certain places that have been more receptive than others.
Mm. I know some mutual friends have gone recently. You got to put this out into the world.
Yeah.
So people, if you're listening right now, call your friends. Call Dolly herself. If David Phillips is listening, let's make this happen.
Did we talk about that on the air? Or did we?
You make a whole episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know somebody who got a birthday phone call from
I think you can make this happen.
Dolly Parton. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And her as a guest someday.
Oh, well,
it just has to be one of our birthdays.
I'm having a theme park impresario on. I
like the idea that we would have her on and talk about just the theme park.
Yes.
Not the movies, not the songs. Just be like, well, what about the roller coaster?
Well,
were you in the design phase of the... Were you the one who was helping plan out what the layout of the park would be?
She was in like a 3D movie or something. I'd want you would have to devote 40 minutes to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Beats the crap out of Mr. King or whoever the hell that was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
The Dolly Parton, bringing this up, reminded me of part of the founding of King's Island was, for one thing, Coney Island, this older park, used to be about 10 miles down the road from where King's Island is now, constantly flooded.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we got to move. Some of the board was like, oh, we should move this. And people were resistant to it. And then it was rumored that the actor Fess Parker, famous for playing Davy Crockett in the Disney miniseries / movie, and later on playing Daniel Boone, was going to open a park in Kentucky.
So they scrambled,
and they're like, oh, we gotta move it. And then, of course, the Fess Parker project fell apart. The money didn't materialize. But like, there was almost another celebrity-founded theme park in the region.
They probably played it right. I mean, they probably played it right, because Newport and the area that the old park, Coney Island, was in on the river does flood a lot. Like in the history of the Ohio River, there's a lot of flooding. And so they had like endless expansion room. And that's one of the things that's very well known about this park and why a lot of people think it has a higher ceiling than Cedar Point is they have room to grow.
Yeah.
So they like kind of constantly improve and expand in a way that some other parks can't as much.
Oh, do they not? Yeah, because it really butts up to just wilderness.
Yeah, it's pretty open.
Do they own like all that, or is there a hard boundary?
Yeah, I don't know if there was like a Walt Disney swamp buy-up story, but I do know that like the Beast, so it's famous for being is it still the longest or no?
I think
or it may be in the U.S.
possibly,
but not in the world.
It's so
or whatever.
Hard, like stuff loses it, and then it's still noted at like, but the longest in this region.
So
like,
one of the longest wooden roller coasters in the world, and one of the reasons it's great is because, you know, if you ride Thunder Mountain at Disney, it's a great ride, but you don't have many straightaways.
Yeah,
you know, to kind of build suspense and kind of just like enjoy your atmosphere. But on the Beast, you're going through a pretty woodsy area, and they have a lot of like wooden tunnels with like open planks, so it kind of creates this like really rustic, natural vibe that like is unique for no other reason than you can go into a wooded area. You know?
Yeah. You really feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. This is another, this video I did at Funny or Die that was called Roller Coaster Safety with Patrick Warburton.
I remember it.
I don't think I've talked about it on the show. That was a real, or it was a fake, it was a like the pre-ride video for a fake ride that we got Patrick Warburton to be in of actual video Soarin'. The level of nerd out to have our guy in one of the real video. And he said, like, you know, I'm in one of the real things. Like, fuck yeah, I do. You think, Patrick? Walked away for half an hour and threatened to leave because of my attitude.
He's also on Star Tours.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Which he revealed to me. It hadn't opened yet. And he like whispered on the set, like, oh yeah, I did something for the new thing.
True
that,
Hollywood
that wasn't
rumors.
Even out online. I got inside info for those couple
that's
months.
That's crazy.
I felt pretty special, I gotta say. Mm-hmm.
They pitched his voice up, too. I don't think most people know it's him.
I don't think you... Yeah, there's not really
voiceover.
He's the guy who's, like, looking through, like, he's, like, letting...
The TSA
security
guy.
Right, on Soarin', yeah.
No, on Star Tours.
Well, that's what he's doing in Soarin', basically.
Mm, They're different jobs.
Characters.
They're different jobs.
Warburton in Soren, he's more of like a military. He's a little calmer.
He's like a captain. Right. He's kind of a captain.
He's a hero. Right. He saved lives. Different. The Soren guy.
And on Star Tours, he's kind of like, all right, move a log there.
He's like they robot pitch it TSA. Up a little bit.
They pitch it up, so it's even more like move a log. Like it's his. We can hear it's his voice, all but right. It's
a little bit of attitude.
Yeah. Okay, keep going there. Keep going like that kind of.
I mean. What a cool claim to fame for Warburton. I mean, like, it has more staying power than any other form of cameo. I mean, more people see that per year than
That's and I think he kind of is a nerd for that stuff, from what I could tell. Like, he does, because sometimes you'll catch that actors. Because I've probably watched every interview or any glimpse I can get of. Now, you were in this ride, and it really breaks my heart when an actor is like, yeah, I don't know, that was a quick shoot, and I don't remember, and I never went and visited it. Warburton, I think, cares.
Here's a fun tip for you. Ken Marino is... Mm-hmm. You guys know what the hell might be trying. The second I started to say it, of course they know. They probably digested that whole episode.
We did an entire episode that hasn't come out yet. I'm not sure if it will have when this comes out.
Or maybe it will have.
But yeah.
We've yet to decide that.
Yeah. I was on the ride last week.
This is the rock and roller coaster
with Aerosmith. Oh, but I was starting to say,
sorry,
the thing that inspired that, it was like a scary, particularly odd, scary video for a ride that doesn't exist, that like seems to go forever and be insanely dangerous. And there's a joke in it about like part of it takes place across the US-Canada border. So a Mountie stops you and checks your passport. And that was completely based on the King's Island experience, because there was a moment in The Beast where I was like, I've been on this for half an hour, I feel. And we are so deep in the woods. If you fell off the ride at that point, could you get back to civilization easily?
It is one of the few rides that you don't leave saying like, it's over it started.
Yeah.
And one time I was there when it was pouring rain, and we just got in as many rides as we could and doubled up on The Beast, which like they were letting people stay on.
Yeah.
Which is just like, that's a train ride. That's a trip.
You're commuting
here to San Francisco. But it was like, it is such a great, it rattles you. So like if you're ever at the park and you are the type of person that doesn't like getting tossed around, it's not the best ride, but it is like a classic. My personal favorite ride, at least at the time, I think if I went back, The Beast is probably what I'd try to get on first, but is actually the Vortex. Which is a looping, when it first opened, it was one of the most loops for its type, and it just feels fast. It's like one of those rides where you're going the same speed you are on any other roller coaster, but because you're feeling a little more G's and like twisting, it's
so contained. It
feels really like a speed coaster.
Sure.
That brings up, someone had asked us on Twitter recently, like why do we think like smaller parks like this, like we had done an episode on Hershey Park,
right,
and why don't they have more like Disney style dark? Why don't they have more dark rides? Why do they have so many coasters? Because they didn't really like coasters. They preferred more dark rides sort of thing. And I think one of the reasons is that it's easier to build a roller coaster. Yeah. You can essentially buy it quote unquote off the shelf, because companies that make these just have different models and you can build them just like it is. But then you can also brag about like the most number of loops in New Jersey the fastest in the Northeast region. Like that helps the marketing, and that appeals to like, you know, the teens
or
like
the
thrill seeking teens. Yeah. And that brings
like
the parents
Scott.
In.
Yeah.
Like Scott.
You appeal to the ultimate badasses like old Scott.
If they just had something called the super high hornball, they'd have both things covered, and it would just be like, you know, like a horny ride that goes really high and really low.
Yeah,
more butt water per car than any roller coaster before.
Sophomoric jokes.
Everything on it slightly looks like a like just as you go up the lift hill, it's like a lot of bananas with the apricots next to the base.
Welcome to the Phallic Phantom.
There's like a Kathy Ireland animatronic at the top waving to you.
That is for an audience of you.
No, people
that's
like
for everyone.
Yeah,
Kathy Ireland. It's for the Pepsi generation.
Yeah,
yeah. That's good.
I remember her name getting said a lot when people were making a big show out of the fact that they like girls now. Like you wouldn't hear. My memory was people on the playground not saying like, oh yeah, Cindy Crawford's really attractive. It'd be like, oh, Cindy Crawford. Right. Like people had to put on these gigantic shows.
I think nobody knew what was going on for themselves either, so there's a lot of projecting.
Yeah. So if I start shouting about this now,
I'll defend myself from the challenges of my peers.
I like that Kathy Ireland was like the hipster choice. Mm. Like Cindy Crawford, that's old man. That's your dad's model. Kathy Ireland's our generation's model.
What was Kathy Ireland? Was she just known for being in magazines? Did she have like a
she
career?
She had a couple TV appearances, I recall. But I think she has like a whole line of clothing.
She has a ceiling fan line.
She has a ceiling fan company.
She really got in on like...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she's licensing a powerhouse, stuff. Man. Yeah, she owns a lot of stuff.
Ceiling fan.
Worth more than you, Gardner. Back off.
She could be a Shark Tank shark. Like absolutely. The way they all own like six or seven different businesses and have shares and a million things.
I'll
like,
find a way to perfect the ceiling fan. I'm coming for you, Kathy. That was you.
Dave, did you ever ride the Son of Beast when it was briefly open?
Yes, it did catch the very end of my years around Ohio and being able to have time and to do these kinds of things. I didn't like it, so I was part of the popular opinion. but it was like something to behold visually.
Yeah.
Because to build that internal inverted loop, that the scaffolding around it was like, it just looked like a honeycomb of like wood planks. Like it really is a unique architectural achievement, even if it was a failure as a ride.
So this was a wooden coaster, sort of built like they made a big deal out of it. It's like the sequel to the Beast, the Son of the Beast, and it had a loop. It was a wooden coaster with a loop in it.
First ever.
I think second ever, but the previous one was so long ago. This was like in modern memory.
Too many people died
ever.
For it to count.
You're probably not far off.
They never completed a full loop, so it didn't count because it didn't work.
Yeah.
They would just fall.
It doesn't connect.
but plagued with problems.
Yeah.
Like not pleasant to ride. It seemed like they changed the cars eventually. Later on, they found out there were some weird engineering problems where it was a miracle. There was only a few accidents and no fatal accidents.
It really plays into the lore of the park, probably, in the sense of there was like, it makes you wonder like, is anybody watching what's going on here?
I was gonna say that to bring back to Neil Armstrong, that I found a quote from Neil Armstrong about the park, which is that he did not go on the Beast. And when asked why, he said, "When I went to the moon, I was in control. But you got some 20-year-old kid running that thing." And I agree.
That is very true.
Although in this case, I did go on the Beast. Wow. So you can call me
braver than Neil Armstrong.
A scaredy cat. Yes, but clearly I'm braver than Neil Armstrong.
Would you have overlap with Son of Beast, Scott, on your visit?
It was there. I certainly did not go on that.
Well, the funny thing, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kept standing long after they shut it down.
Yeah. It was still up for a while, and they're like, oh, it'll open next season.
How
like,
embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was also, like, I watched, there's a series called Defunctland that we like a lot, and I think they talked about on it, like, the people in Ohio in charge of, like, monitoring coasters are, like, it's either the parks and recreation people or like the fish and wildlife. It's people who are not qualified to look at. So, like, people would be like, we guess it's okay. Like, people just didn't know. And, like, as they were tearing it down, they're like, oh, yeah, some of this wood is not right. Or, like, things aren't good.
I mean, building the scaffolding out of wood in a region of the country that gets a lot of water, a lot of rain, a lot of wind, you know, tornadoes, does seem like you're daring God to kill a horny preteen.
Yes.
He died as he wished with a boner.
It's not the longest roller coaster anymore. That belongs to the Steel Dragon 2000 in Japan.
Longest wooden, though.
Longest, it was the longest wooden until they took the loop out. when they reopened it. And now I think California Screamin' might be technically the longest one. Man, see, that's really? The thing, though, about like these
people
roller coaster
are so mad right now that we don't know this.
Well, it's the same
so
thing with height of buildings. You know, if you had the
yeah.
antenna all of a sudden,
yeah,
Sears Towers and doesn't count.
These building fights.
Speaking of, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step
oh,
on
I was going to say, it is very hard to keep straight at this point. I feel like there used to be a clear, what it was, Empire State Building, now it's, and then it became Sears Tower. I don't know, it's some Dubai thing now. I don't know what it is, and they keep adding doodads. They got to get the tallest building thing
that was
straight.
One thing's for sure, it is not the Eiffel Tower at King's Island, which is an attraction at
yes.
King's Island when you walk in, a replica, quote unquote replica. If you see the picture, it's not really a replica.
It's a third the size is yeah. what I saw. My wife didn't know much about this park, and that part really confused her. Why is there an Eiffel Tower?
There's one in Virginia,
the
too. I yeah, think there's really. One at Carowinds, mm-hmm. maybe.
Probably that European eclectic vibe of like, you can't have a castle, you know, this is fun.
Yeah, there's International Street, there's yeah. a bunch of fountains, you know, international style yeah. fountains.
Is it the same theory, like the same thinking that Michael Eisner had when he wanted to open Disney's MGM Studios, where like, if we just build a studio here, no one's going to go to Universal Studios. So they were like, well, no one needs to go to Paris now that we have our own... We have our own just as good one.
It's the New York theory in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, we got it all right here, basically.
How's their Eiffel Tower stack up? That's got to be bigger.
That's got to be bigger.
And closer. Because the Kings Island one kind of looks like it's made of Legos or something.
Yeah, but it is a good view of the park. All of these things have their charm. Like, I know I was just reading that they redid, like, the turnstile entrance just to have a better signage. And I was like, oh my gosh, is it going to be really nice? And it was like... No, it was just a sensible update, you know? Like, they don't waste money where it doesn't have entertainment value. Mm-hmm. And I kind of love that. I mean, Disney has yeah. the luxury to fail, you know, and, like, invest a lot of money in certain details. These parks, to survive and to keep them at, like, a non-cost prohibitive level mm-hmm. for the average family, like, they make the right move. They buy, like, these prefabbed awesome rides.
Yeah.
So it's admirable.
The
you
other
like
thing
the
is...
the thriftiness of it.
Yeah, that's why I like in a park. A good thrifty appeal.
The other thing is a lot of these parks in colder parts of the country don't operate year-round. They're usually,
right.
like, you know, end of April, middle of April to October, maybe. And
yeah.
maybe they... looks like Kings Island
Winter
sometimes
Fest.
Has done, yeah, Winterfest, like open around Christmas. Hershey
yeah.
Park did this. Some of the Six Flags maybe do it.
Yeah, I went to Winterfest once, at least I remember, and they would basically just put up some temporary tents around the park, like kind of heated tents. I can't remember. There's probably like a lighting display and stuff in some
yeah.
of the area, but the most memorable thing, again, I was probably 10, but there was a guy singing in one of the tents, like a novelty act, and he put on a Rasta hat and sang Jingle Bells, and the only difference was that he added mon at the end of everything. It was the most culturally appropriated junk of all time. It was just Jingle Bells, mon, Jingle Bells, mon, all, jingle all the way, mon. And me and my 10-year-old white bread friend thought that was the funniest performance of all time. And when I think about it now, I probably like went home and sang it to friends at school.
Yeah, you absolutely did. Sure.
Oh, what a friggin' loser.
A young Adrian Brody saw
yeah.
it, and it gave him an idea for his SNL
Ugh.
Musical guest intro. That's
yeah.
a very obscure
no,
reference, but
I know what you're talking about.
If anybody hasn't seen, look up Adrian Brody.
Who's he introducing?
That's Sean Paul.
Perfect.
He's introducing a reggae band, so he decided to do this lengthy. Like,
they told him not to do it.
And just like all this nonsense. And then did they tell him not to?
Yeah, they told him not to. He said, I want to do my reggae man character. I want to do like a reggae guy character. They're like, no, please don't. And then he went and did it anyway.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office. I was live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime.
just looks like hide, a hard band.
Yeah, he's hard band from doing that. Yeah.
He did he like hide the hat and the wig somewhere and then
he must have.
That's a good point. He had to secure it somehow. So
yeah.
Unless the wardrobe department got clearance to do so, he like drove over to a 99-cent store in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, maybe they never had the wig at all.
Right. Was
and that
wig.
Was the quality of it, from what I recall. Right. It was like what you'd buy from a costume store. Like so he kept that in the room.
Like when Sacha Baron Cohen snuck Ollie G into the Oscars.
It's the same thing.
Same thing, yeah. A beloved, two beloved characters making a surprise appearance
owned
on
over
TV.
Years.
Yeah.
Did he put it in all in a backpack? And
something. He had them in his pocket. Like, I think his wife had like it in a purse or something, and then she had to like sneak it to him before he went up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Weren't you working for the movie awards when one that was not Faye, that Bruno crash landed on?
I actually did not work on that year.
Oh, I thought you did.
I worked the year right after.
Okay.
So we were there for the fallout.
It was being discussed. It was like the Jimmy Kimmel or the Warren Beatty envelopes. Yes. Like, never again. We can't. Security yeah, on high alert. Yeah. High alert for
wait,
comical
what,
Europeans.
The Bruno falling on Eminem.
Yeah.
Wasn't that scripted though? Wasn't that planned?
Well,
Jason,
I don't.
Jason, how could you dare make such a claim?
No? There's only one person here who would truly know the inside. Although you weren't there at the time.
I was only there for the fallout. At that point, the rumor mill was in full effect. The cover up was on. Mr. MTV himself had shut it down. No, wow. I don't know the full details. I know the people who would,
uh-huh.
But they're not here. They're dead to us.
This isn't.
They're in protective custody, right? They
yeah,
can't
exactly.
share this information.
That'd be shot.
I'm not sure if the timeline overlapped in this, but that was all owned by Viacom, who owned these parks at the time, and they could have made a ride based on Bruno dangling down into.
Actually, they would have owned the rights. Yeah, it could have been a stunt mm-hmm. show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It'd be a great stunt show, like a Bruno Mars. Jesus. Actually, that would be
that'd
a much
be
more
too.
Popular stunt show. Like really a Sacha Baron Cohen character themed stunt show. I'm on board.
If you could get
there.
Every character from the Coen-verse,
let's
you get Bruno,
it.
You get the general, you
yes.
get Borat. I mean, of course,
because the crowd work would be amazing. Because you would get like a local hire version of Sacha Baron Cohen.
Boy. If you held auditions at an Ohio theme park for who would play Borat, there would be a line of 20,000.
Everyone in the state would audition for it.
Young funny
young,
dudes.
Old,
now is my shot.
Females open to that
yeah,
too. I
absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely.
Why not?
It's totally blind casting.
Fanning
the best
down,
we can get.
Fanning down the lot, that endless line, longer than the beast itself. Of
yeah.
Just murmuring, my wife.
Different
my wife.
Three people for each character too. Wouldn't be the same person playing all the roles.
Absolutely.
No,
absolutely.
You're gonna see a lot of those baby blue Borat suits in that line though,
right?
But you'll see some Bruno, you'll see some Ollie G's.
Bruno's a Borat suit isn't baby blue,
it's kind of blue, right?
It's
oh, here comes
blue.
A fight.
Oh, I don't know.
Back,
I don't know.
A man,
this is my role is the ref of the pod.
That local casting, I know it's a thing you guys have covered occasionally, but Scott was nice enough in my little walk down memory lane. He sent me a 25th anniversary special that.
Oh
Kings
yeah,
Island
we watched. Yeah.
Oh my God. So Jason Priestley is the talent.
Yeah.
What the segue here for me was that he runs into a number of actors from the park, and one of them is an approximation of Doc Brown, but it's completely unlicensed and played by like a 14-year-old.
Well, yeah. And he also was like talking about a lot of Ghostbusters stuff.
Yes,
it was like a Doc Brown
hard.
Outfit and just mixing in Ghostbuster, like phantasmagoric, like slime, like.
It's
but it didn't make any. Was he walking around the park, or was that just for the special? Is
I'll,
what I was wondering.
I'll have you know, I watched. The entire thing, and I had never made heads or tails of whether these were actual pre-existing Kings Island characters that he was running to, or if they were written for the narrative of the special. But basically, the theme that they went with is it's a 25th celebration. Jason is interacting with real kids throughout the park that have snuck in with him on a day that it's closed, and he is kind of infiltrated. His mission is infiltrated by these secret agents that look like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, but there's more than two of them. There's four Blues
there's four
Brothers.
Of them. And they're with the Park Aficionado Committee
Well, this is what's weird to me. They were with ACE, the American Coaster Enthusiast.
Which is
real. Which is a real organization.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but they don't... They're just people who like coasters and wear normal clothes. I'm not quite sure why they made them look like sinister men in black.
I think the answer to your question of why is that this was likely written by a park employee. That's feeling probably, it had to me. They had, you know, they were like, we have 30, maybe 20 grand to spend on this big blowout. We're going to get Priestley and the rest is on us.
Yes.
Now, why Priestley? Was he a...
Biggest name who would say yes, maybe? Teen maybe. Heartthrob? Horniness?
Who the teens were the most horny for. Was he like from the area, though?
No, I looked that up, too. He's Canadian. He's Californian. Yeah.
That's what I thought. So, but maybe he had a trip to Kings Island? Was he a random hire?
I think he was legitimately hot at the time. So he probably was an attention getter. And I don't know if that it's a YouTube video now, but I don't know if it was a regional broadcast on paid television or
must have been like a local TV thing. Look, I'll correct you. I'll say it was the 20th anniversary. You. If you look it up on YouTube, although we'll post it and probably post clips from it. But the Kings Island 20th anniversary special from 1992, which to me, I think this whole thing elevates Kings Island for me, that they had an idiotic 90s TV special. My favorite.
You like that better than the park sometimes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I put a lot more time into watching these things and archiving moments from them than going to places. So, is this the only non-Disney Universal park to have a special of this nature?
Huh.
With little skits?
No, there's no way.
Great. I really did enjoy it. I thought I was going to watch 30 seconds and I kept going.
I'm so glad. Well, I want to highlight another moment from that, which is that, if there is a loose... Well, you described one of the Blues plots, which is the Blues Brothers men magically appearing on the coasters, but also the Doc Brown ripoff guy who you mentioned with a big hat full of doodads on it. He's talking about particle disturbances that are happening in the park, and I don't know why that day.
Yeah, and they look like little digital tornadoes that have just been loosely animated across the screen.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of GIFs. A number of times.
Yes, which culminating in the very strange section where Jason Priestley is talking to kids about what animals they like, and then he just casually says, I've always wanted to be a giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
Next line, oh no, Jason, look out. A kid points behind him. He looks bizarre close-up of just his eyes as the swirl that we saw in one scene prior.
Tornado.
Mm-hmm. The digital tornado heads towards him. It engulfs him, then drops him off in a different area where he is human, but quickly morphs into a giraffe
in the safari park.
And I promise you on our Twitter a GIF that I've made already, or a GIF.
Oh, great.
It's an achievement in CGI.
Go to our Twitter if you want to see like Jason Priestley anamorphing into a giraffe.
I wrote down some of those kids' lines. Some of those kids' lines were pretty... One of the kid goes, there goes his career.
Yes.
And then the other kid goes, oh, he was going to be in movies.
Yes, which is like a very savvy Hollywood joke.
Yeah, both are pretty good. So I'm like, wait, were the writers there feeding kids lines?
Yeah, or definitely.
Thought those kids ad-libbed, you mean?
No, I was wondering if like Jason Priestley's feeding them lines trying to figure out.
I
want to
say Jason was more checked out than you're giving him credit for.
Yeah, I have to think there were some writers. Because then there's some weird mugging later on where he's like, get out here, wise guy. Well, and I'm like, why is he doing that? Yeah, that's like a comedy writer go to his like old-timey aphorism.
It reminds me a lot of John Stamos on Full House would do a lot of would ya, like it's some weird like several
Stooges.
Steps from
Stooges.
I will say he seemed to be a good sport. There's one memorable moment in the video where he's riding the racer with a young volunteer and they didn't pre-screen the young volunteer and the kid is terrified. He looks like he's like trying to hide from the ride, and Jason kind of puts his arm around him and like cheers him up like while still like playing the scene the way it was planned. So you know, he won some points. And at the end, the end of the video says promotional considerations or travel considerations and lodgings provided by, and the hotel they show as his lodgings is the most adorable like budget inn. They show the room, like the interior of the room, and it's like he made a sacrifice to make a couple bucks.
They also gave a shout out to the local RV company that rented his dressing room trailer.
Jason Priestley's trailer provided by.
They used to do that, I feel like. They would say it's like trailer provided by. I've seen that before.
It's very charming. Yeah, you could tell they made a special effort to elevate their production their situation to this Hollywood person. The charm that is imbued in every part of this park is evident
this
there.
This is it's funny because like as much as people dig on Midwest stuff, it always does bug me because like that's kind of a unique experience in the Midwest is like Priestley legitimizing your park. There's nothing crappy about that. That's great.
Yeah. That's a coup for the park. That's a coup for the RV company and yes. that local hotel establishment.
And the Midwest in general.
Yeah, and the Midwest in general.
It's a win-win.
It's a coup for me to watch 26 years later.
You referenced them a little bit. I accidentally did. In the 70s, when it was still owned by, who was the original owner?
Taft Broadcasting. Taft. That's how they had the Hanna-Barbera license. And I believe the Smurf license, because the Smurfs were present in the park very early
It's on. Great. And they also got crossovers. There's a Brady Bunch episode and a Partridge Family episode, both very similarly premised.
Yes. What is the Partridge Family one? Because I know Brady Bunch better.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I'll make it up wrong.
I have the thing here.
They're a traveling performers, so they're performing at the park is the basics.
It's less torture to get them there than the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch is he got the engineering job to do a design at the park, so he's flying the whole family to Cincinnati, and they have this whole moment of like, we're going to Cincinnati. Aww.
Yeah, it's a real shit on Cincinnati. It. And then when he explains what's up, because we get to go to a big theme park, then the reaction's like, oh, cool, okay. It's still like a B-plus enthusiasm from the family.
And both, coincidentally, there's a B story where the young male member of the family falls for a local
Keith meets
girl.
The public relations host. Keith has a crush on her, says the IMDb.
Yep.
Oh, wait. I flipped through it, and I think Keith is pretending he is older than he is.
Yes.
And there's a part where he demands wine, and Shirley Jones gives him the stink eye because he's not old enough to drink wine.
There you go. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff of amusement
park. The Partridge Family's episode was called I Left My Heart in Cincinnati. The Brady Bunch episode was called The Cincinnati Kids. On the notable events part of the Wikipedia, it seems like the Brady Bunch kids would come back a few times just to entertain.
They did a show. A few of them did a show a few years ago there.
Yes,
I came
2008 and 2013.
Yeah.
Barry Williams and Susan Olsen. And then Christopher Knight was with them in 2013.
Whoa.
But then Mike Lookinland was with them in 2008.
And do we know why?
Singing some songs, telling some stories.
Yeah,
do you know why? Because Ohio loved them.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And treated them really. Although, for this, I stopped on the way here. I stopped at the library and looked at a copy of one of the great literature texts available at the library, Growing Up Brady, Barry Williams' book, which is a very good book. But he goes in depth into the Brady's experience at Kings Island. And at the time, similar to what you were saying about Priestley having modest lodging options, there was only one hotel remotely near Kings Island at the time, and it was called like King's Island Lodge or something.
Right.
And it didn't take much for the Ohio natives to put two and two together and go, oh, that's where the Brady's must be.
Oh,
so all of the
swarmed.
Kids, like everybody had to deal with like the bathroom window, like people pressing up against the glass. The Brady's were all trapped, essentially. There were just people with their kids or not with their kids.
The same thing happened to the Munchkins when they were shooting Wizard of Oz in Culver City.
All the creepy Culverians kept bugging them. People are just knocking on the door. And then, there was a lot of tension between the Brady's and the people in the park because they did not pay to have extras fleshing out the background of the scene. So it's just regular people in the parks who have to deal with the shooting, who have to be told, do not stare at the camera, do not stare at the Brady's. And the kids got to cut in line and go on everything. They just got to walk straight on everything. But people started screaming at it, like you Hollywood assholes. Like people would like hosting the Brady. So there was actually, so maybe Ohio did not love the Brady. They do now.
Well, they went back, the time, didn't they?
Yeah. They like it was fun enough to,
they wanted to make sure they knew where they, you know, they wanted to put them in their place, really. We're from, this is not where you're from. We're from here.
We're all people. You guys need, there's no lines in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
No cutting in line. The other big part of the Brady Bunch lore, the lore of the Cincinnati kids, is that they all went on The Racer, and Robert Reed refused to go on the ride. Again, I'm in a great lineup of great men. Wow. Robert Reed and first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a ride that goes...
They didn't die because they were fraidy cats. So, they just...
it's a pretty tame ride, all in all. It does go forwards and backwards, so it was unique in that way. And it is a Coney Island holdover. It's one of the original.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And it's kind of, and it's two tracks, parallel tracks.
You're next racing to each other.
Yeah.
Which at the time, a very unique
cool idea.
In the equivalent ride in King's Dominion, the name has since changed, but for a long time was called the Rebel Yell.
Oh, no. Is it the Racer now?
I don't know if it's the Racer now. It is something more generic.
I read that it's credited with reviving interest in roller coasters in the 70s. Probably bullshit too.
It was a more of a divergent topic. Do you think that this theme park podcast could cover the Branson Show 70s Music Celebration starring Barry Williams? Do you think we could go?
1,000%.
Right? We should.
As one of the makers of the rules, unless Branson. You guys disagree.
No, I, of course. That was a question I knew the answer to.
I just have a question. Do guests have veto power?
Hosts?
If enough.
No one's forcing you to listen, Dave.
If enough guests, let's say 30 guests, veto.
So strongly about this.
Then we'll think about not doing it.
You know how my eyes glaze over sometimes when we go down classic rock rabbit holes? Could you imagine if that happens for 90 minutes?
Yeah.
First of all, it's weird that you're against it. Second of all, when you're saying classic rock, this Barry Williams show, I don't even know if we're getting into the territory of classic rock.
Well, is this Jason extrapolate? If he's bored, if we talk about the Rolling Stones, let me show you. He'd be probably even more bored.
Google
talking
this,
about
it. Everyone. This looks good.
There's so many different trailers. He does all the Brady Bunch hits. He does some like newer songs.
Does he do the real Greg Brady? Parody of the real Slim Shady, our second Eminem reference of the episode.
Let me look up the set list.
Do you remember when
shows.
He did that? Have you ever seen? He performed at a Vegas award show, and like he did a parody of what Eminem had done at the VMAs, where a ton of Greg Brady's are all walking into the MGM Grand together. It's very stupid.
That is such a leap.
They parodied a very specific Eminem performance.
Yeah.
Why am I talking about all the Eminem MTV? Hey,
yeah.
He had a lot of great moments. Triumph, when he hit Triumph in the aisle.
Yes.
While Mike is finding this, there is a moment of the Jason Priestley special I wanted to bring up. At one point, the animated tornado turns Jason Priestley into a kid.
Yes.
And he goes to a snack bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, played by a little boy. And he says, I want a cherry slushy and a brownie on whole wheat, hold the mustard.
Yeah, that was that.
So I replay that like three times because I was trying to figure out the mechanic. That seems, again, that's like a old comedy writer. Yeah. Joe, it's like a kid. If a kid orders a deli sandwich, wouldn't that be funny? But it's like, wait, a brownie on bread. Like, children know what sandwiches are. Children don't.
It's a layered joke, but here's my theory on the whole thing. It was written by the same person that writes their comedy shows at the park, because it had a lot of those kind of witty, punny jokes. Where you're like, you just tried just too much just for that
just
one
too
joke.
Much.
But it's funny because I do wonder, I was looking up if any famous people got their start on a job at King's Island, and it's pretty good. It's Carmen Electra was a dancer.
Wow.
Yep.
Nick, if you're listening.
Sure.
Nick Lachey was a singer. Woody Harrelson was a wood carver.
What?
And Dan Patrick worked at the golf course. So
Dan Patrick?
Wow.
Weird.
That's pretty good. Well, Dan Patrick's from Dayton. But still, most of these are from Cincinnati. That is a pretty good ratio for a park in the middle of the country. I wonder if any writers... So if you're listening out there and you know some other comedy writers, has anyone made the jump from writing for the equivalent of Bill and Ted's stage show or, you know, the Golden Horseshoe show? Have they ever made the jump to screenwriting?
Oh, I found out recently, my friend John Flynn, used to be longtime UCB mainstay John Flynn, was in the rock and roll, I think it was the rock and roll show at Hershey Park one summer.
Oh, there you go.
Like a bunch of other theater kids, theater college students, he was with, all lived together and did the rock show at Hershey Park.
I will shout out within the tour guide program, which I was one. Paul Feig, also a Universal tour guide. Yeah, that's pretty big. That's going to be pretty one of the biggest, like legit writer director forces from that weird job.
Yeah, that's huge.
I have a follow up question to yours, Dave, which is it possible for somebody who has written for television to make the leap to write for theme park
that is
shows?
A much better way
and
to
can
frame
anyone
it.
Give me a specific email address of someone to ask
because
for a
you
job
would like to mimic their career.
I would like to go the opposite way if
yeah,
possible.
I hear you.
I cannot find a set list, but I did find a picture on Facebook of Barry Williams loving the Right Cycle Company complex at the Caroline Historical Park in Dayton, Ohio.
Another great example of a local park. This one's a heritage museum. Caroline Park is like the Dayton History Park. I know it sounds lame, guys, but they got a right B flyer, and the cash register was invented there. So what more do you want?
Wow, look at that.
Wow.
And Mike, you just pulled up a Facebook photo, and this is a good... I'm glad you have not deleted Facebook, as many people have done, because then you'd be missing out on stuff like...
Yeah, that's true.
The troops of the
Scott
internet.
Scott deleted his.
Yeah, look. Don't assail my kind. The proud... Yeah. The rebels in this
Thank
movement.
You for your service.
You're very welcome.
I'll follow your tangent just for the moment. Uh-huh. So did you delete it because of the data breach concern? Because if that's the case, you're dumb. If you deleted it because you now had a reason that people wouldn't question, then I get it.
Well, to be totally fair, I was probably not using it a ton.
Yes,
already.
See, the truth will set
if
you
it,
free.
If it truly was part, if it was, if Facebook was still important to me and a part of my daily activity, I probably would not have been able to make the sacrifice. But the fact that it had been whittled down to a lot of riffraff and stuff I didn't want to see anyway.
I think that's the moment we're at. People aren't ready to defend Facebook anymore because they don't care.
Yes.
Hey, here's a good segue.
It's a very easy cut to make.
And I'm one of them, but I just think that is the reason. Here's
Did you
a
do
good
it?
Segue.
Did you quietly
no,
do
I
it?
Haven't. I will happily.
I'll do it right now.
Join us.
Dare me.
I would like
do it right
this.
Now.
Oh, Carlson's ready.
What
this
height
could
are
be
you going to
podcast first?
How are you going to top seeing Barry Williams in an old plane?
Well,
not a great
be
last
the first
thing to do.
This picture of Barry Williams in a tie-dyed shirt with Jimmy J.J. Walker, maybe?
What a way to go out. Man. If that's the last thing you see on Facebook.
Your final like is to like that.
Yeah, like it and then delete your account.
And then we watch you do it
All right,
right
I'll do
here
it.
And now.
Oh, here we go.
Are
oh
you really
God,
doing it?
This is
I'll
great.
Like,
heroes.
I'll hit like. And
we
then
can be
How do you delete a Facebook right here? Okay, do we go to settings?
Look it up.
Mike could be king.
This is only
you might need to get like a Verge article or a Wired article to do this.
Scott did it. Tell me how to do it.
It's in your settings.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a little confusing because there's one it's thing to deactivate, but delete is a different thing, and they make the delete link harder
well, here,
to find.
Let's just get this because this will be a podcast first. I doubt any other podcasters have deleted their Facebook on the air yet.
Okay. Yeah, eat shit,
like
John Favreau.
So,
did he
can
do
we
it?
Get,
I don't know,
can
probably.
We get a Matt Carlson commitment that by the end of today, by the time this posts, will you no longer have a Facebook account?
By the time this posts, yeah, sure.
I think that's like
I'll
huge.
Delete it.
But we got a lot of episodes started
up,
so it might be like
hopper.
2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by then,
also,
Barry Williams
may just not come out. So we just may say, hey, this wasn't as good. So we'll throw it away.
Let me, because we were talking about heritage
nice
places, heritage things. This is the only theme park that I know of that has a cemetery in the parking lot.
Oh,
the
yes.
Dog Street Cemetery.
What?
Yeah. Dates back to 1803. The Warren County Genealogical Society documented nearly 70 grave sites in the cemetery.
There was like a Ghost Hunters episode.
Yeah, and there is a Ghost Hunters episode called Roller Ghoster, where they investigate haunted occurrences in and around the park and cemetery. Most notably, a ghost they call Missouri Jane.
Oh, that's...
Or Missouri Jane.
It's funny because I have not visited the cemetery site. I did ride the Kings Island equivalent of Haunted Mansion, which rips off a lot of kind of like... elements.
Yes. Boo blasters.
Yeah,
the, whatever. The haunted theater, briefly called the haunted theater. Before that was Smurf's Enchanted Voyage. Before that was a just a weird copyright free Enchanted Voyage. It looks like HR.
I want to get this name right, though. Now it's called Boo Blasters on Boo Hill.
I wonder if they have any winks in there, like the way Disney has nods to past animators and stuff.
Lawyers. Some little like nod to, there's a dead Smurf body somewhere.
I think the ghosty guy that played the organ in Phantom Theater shows up in Boo Blaster.
Hey, all right.
Boo Hill.
That's good.
But is that just saving on robot?
Probably saving on robot. I think this was also a Scooby Doo themed, that was one of the last things yanked out.
Wow.
And now it's Boo Blasters on Boo Hill, made by the Sally Corporation, who also made Knights in White Satin, The Trip.
No kidding! Yeah. Hey! Which, oh, I don't know. Well, mm-hmm. it'll probably have aired.
Yeah.
A ride based on Knights in White Satin at the foreclosed Hard Rock theme park.
Wow.
Which we get into a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, one advantage that a place like Kings Island maybe has on Disney, you know, I've heard you guys talk before about like refilling the park. How do you keep the energy alive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kings Island is going to go through enough owners and its history and enough entertainment franchises that they have no choice but to rebrand occasionally. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. I remember they had a Nickelodeon theme kids area when I was last there, and that's gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now they have a show that I sent to you guys. I don't think I passed this to you. I need to check my notes because it's a complicated name. I don't want to get it wrong. The show is called Nickelodeon's Mega Messamania.
Love it.
Which I think was a show that was on tour throughout this nation of ours that eventually settled and had a in one place theatrical run at Kings Island. And
a residency.
Like Barry Williams. And there's a clip of this that I'd like to play rather than describing the plot. I think the only thing I have to do to set this up is that I'm looking at a lady in a very like the Nickelodeon mom, like the bizarre, 50s. Grotesque bouffant wig.
Looks kind of like Edie McClurg a little bit.
Yes, like a super, like an exaggerated caricature of actress Edie McClurg who helped the principal in Ferris Bueller.
Yes.
She's
wearing regular-sized glasses and not a fat suit, for those of you who haven't pulled up the
phone. Yes, accurate. So she kind of explains the plot with the help of the character who she introduces.
Is
there a problem with the slime release valve?
Problem? It's more like a slime-tastrophe. Darla, my slime truck broke down, so I had to send the slime directly to the tank on stage. I do have 3 emergency release valves. However, if they can't take the added pressure, it could cause a slime down. This whole place will blow, and we'll be up to our adenoids in slime. But never fear, I am a certified slimologist. I have everything under control.
Problem could be slime-tastrophe. This is, again... Anyone who has the means for me to convert from being an attempted comedy writer to being a slimologist at a slime-related theme park show, please give me the context if you can.
We should say that that character, the mom character's name, is Gackmeister Darla Boog Air. So, just so you know...
It actually took me
it took you a second to
Boog, hey, now what's what nationality air. Is that what region is that from amazing.
Yeah, this show was really something. You sent us this video, and never have I seen a video, a special sell you so hard on. You can buy this.
Oh, wow.
This is actually Gak being and filmed. And
oh, no, you can buy a broadcast of what you were watching. You'll notice this is shot in a multi-cam way, and you could be in the show. You might end up on the stage.
Yeah.
So you could watch it at home like a Nickelodeon show, but you're the star.
Because there's about 5 minutes opening credits where they cut to audience members with like funny text underneath, and people are laughing when they realize they're on screen.
Dave
and you could take that
out
home.
At thought of being a part of your favorite.
I mean, I guess, you know, people buy their own karaoke videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
isn't a hard stretch.
This, too, made a point of telling you that it's like we have 50 VHS machines recording this backstage. So rather than just record it on one and make copies as needed, they just record it 50 at a time.
Because they could just there would be like losing no money if they just threw all 50 away.
Yeah.
It would not be a big problem.
Or they done it over them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. That's probably what they
Son
did.
Of Beast was built out of discarded VHS tapes for part of the trick.
That's a fun nostalgic romp.
What a good show. I recommend the entire 45-minute show.
It's harder to get through maybe than that special.
Also, I cranked the volume. I went into Adobe Premiere and cranked the volume on what I just played, and it was still very quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure in the moment seeing the show, it was an in-your-face slime-tastical event.
Sure. If you have a VHS of this, let us know.
Send us the full quality.
Oh yeah, somebody was probably on.
Yeah,
I that's something I might be able to help if I pull. Cincinnati Kids.
Yeah,
not the ones from the show, but the ones from my life.
In terms of licensing turnover, one of my favorite details is so in the Nickelodeon area there was a Wild Thornberries themed log flume, and when Cedar Fair took over, Cedar Fair, of course, in their parks like Knott's Berry Farm or Dorney Park have the Peanuts characters. This ride got changed, the name got changed to Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
It sounds like such a threat.
We're going to kill Charlie Brown by the end of this ride. Yeah.
You're fucking dead, Brown.
How do you stop it? You just have to have enough fun to where they won't kill him?
They choke him out with Linus's blanket. Did I get that right? Is it Linus with the blanket?
Yes, that's correct.
We're going to pump pigpen dust down his throat.
You should have paid back the DiMarino family, Charlie Brown.
This is a movie. That's the name of one of the movies, though.
You should have paid back the DiMarino.
Really? Race for Your Life is?
Yeah, Race for Your Life is one of the movies.
Oh, I know, I got it.
From 77. Do you have memories of the Peanuts area? I'm looking through the Peanuts area, and I am astounded. I've never been here. I'm astounded by the amount of different Peanuts rides and experiences they have.
They have the kids area, whatever the current incarnation is, branding-wise, I know is like very well reviewed for a kids park, which makes sense. It's very family park. Like, I think it probably skews super young,
right?
So I do remember it being huge, but I don't. Most of my Kings Island visits were in my preteens and teens,
right? So
I
that was stupid to go to Charlie.
You didn't care about that kid shit.
They have Charlie Brown's wind up, or they've had some of these are gone. Flying Ace Aerial Chase, Joe Cool's Dodge'em School, Kite Eating Tree, Linus's Beetle Bugs, Linus's Launcher, Peanuts 500, Peanuts Off Road Rally, Peanuts Playhouse, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, Sally's Seaplane, Snoopy versus Red Baron, Snoopy's Junction, Snoopy's Space Buddies, Surf Dog, The Great Pumpkin Coaster, Woodstock Express, Woodstock Gliders, and Woodstock Whirly Birds.
That's insane. For a whole world.
I have
questions.
You, Mike.
I have questions on Snoopy versus the Red Baron. Is that meant to mimic like a mental disconnect where like Red Baron part of Snoopy and the regular part of Snoopy are warring for control of
brains?
It's like Fight Club.
I don't know the details. I will say that it used to be Dick Dastard leads biplane.
Well, perfect. You know, that probably is a parental play, right? I mean, kids born since 2000 do not care about the Peanuts, I wouldn't think.
Unless the film still came out keep them
right,
fresh
they did,
in
yeah.
people's
yeah.
minds.
Yeah, maybe.
By Ohio, by Paul Feig, by former Universal tour guide.
Not a coincidence.
Adults, I think, force kids to like Peanuts now still, so you still show them all the specials.
I think kids want to listen to a slow talking character.
Yeah, Peanuts,
a depressed little boy.
Peanuts, Calvin and Hobbes, maybe Farside. I mean,
they're
those treasuries are still in bookstores and stuff, and people get
that
them.
That makes it more appealing to me. So it's not a fail by any means. It's just, it is curious of like all the things they could license. I kind of respect that they went timeless. Again, it's probably a money saver.
Where are the theme park rights to the Paw Patrol? Because Paw Patrol clearly is a just juggernaut of current 3 to 5 year old culture.
Right.
And I like Paw Patrol too. I would love to go to a Paw Patrol place. Like one of these places, I think Disney could safely like buy the Paw Patrol theme park rights for like $500 million and make it back.
But if you had the thought, you're already too late.
So yeah, yeah. Well, no, I'm not looking to cash in myself. I just want to make sure they're spoken for.
I'm saying that the youth will change faster than you can say, I don't know, any Paw Patrol characters.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. By the time there's like a child in my life, so I'll say, so like, so you into Paw Patrol?
Well, that's no, why you, say you're Barney.
Girl. I'm reporting you to the police. You're a predator.
The Paw Patrol.
I think there is truth to that, because I think a lot about like, why aren't there more rides based on TV shows? And right. I think it's like, once TV shows stop airing, I mean, they live forever on streaming services now, but like, they're kind of out of like, I don't think about, you know, I like Breaking Bad and The Wire, but I don't think about them that much.
You're not going to get on a kiddie coaster.
No, I'm not going to get on the Mark Armitrol coaster. But like, a few years ago at Disney, there was Phineas and Ferb stuff everywhere in the park.
Exactly.
Like, in all the stores. And now, when you go back, I guess there's like a shelf. Maybe there's a shelf of Perry the Platypus.
That's a costly update.
Can I say, I think one of the, I don't know which, but I would venture to guess one of these Peanuts rides of which you speak is a rename of my favorite ride title from when it was still Hanna-Barbera, Boo Boo's Baggage Claim.
Adorable.
Such a wonderfully dull, like Dick Dastardly's accountant.
That, like, you know, that so... that would have been right up my alley, because in King's Dominion, one of my favorite places in the world, and I found video walkthrough of it, looking this up, was Yogi's Cave, which I don't know if there was a Yogi's Cave here. It was literally just an indoor walkthrough. You were walking through a cave, like a dark cave with music playing, and there's like a creaky Boo Boo and a creaky Yogi animatronic at the end. But I loved it. I would just come out the exit and just grab my family, my parents'
you
hand,
grab a picnic
and go right
basket
back
and get back
to
on.
The entrance and take a picnic basket. Yeah.
Yeah. Cedar Point is very Yogi themed. I'm not sure about now, but I have vivid memories, because when last time I was at Cedar Point, I got hit by a tornado.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So my memories are all blurred together with seeing the front awning of our hotel ripped off and then seeing the Yogi's Cave. You know, it's like,
oh my god. Oh, wow. You were like escaping the tornado last
yeah
time
we had
here?
To we had to like go underground, or you know, like kind of the equivalent of when you go into the halls of Disney, the shortcuts that go under the park,
the tunnels or whatever. Really?
We went into like the restaurant holding until it like passed through, and then walked through pouring rain to get my caricature from the front of the park and like carried it in a trash bag, got all the way home, and then yeah, the front awning of our Holiday Inn had been ripped by a tornado. It was like a traumatizing kid memory.
Yeah,
as a proponent of Holiday Inns and having fun at Holiday Inns,
it was a holodome too.
A holodome?
You guys know what holodomes is?
No, here I'm setting up straight for this.
Holodome is a Holiday Inn. Probably most of them are in the middle of the country. I know we stayed at more than one. It was like my brother and I's favorite thing, where they have in a dome structure, kind of like the Arc Light for people in LA, a dome structure that has a basketball court, a swimming pool, a spa, a sauna, a play area, a games arcade, and like a workout facility.
Wow.
So it was like an attraction in and of itself.
Like a rec center type.
Here's a postcard from one that used to be in Denver, Holodome Indoor Fun Center.
Wow. Yeah,
we would make a whole vacation out of this.
Yeah. That is beautiful.
This was like a Midwestern vacation in and of itself.
Wow. I have never heard the phrase holodome. I consider myself a fan of Holiday Inns and domes, and really distressed that I didn't know that they had combined. Wow. Oh,
find
man. Anyone on Twitter, send us any info you got about holodomes.
Welcome to the great indoors.
Yeah. Putt-putt golf sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, you know it smells real chlorine-y in these places.
I have memories. My brother ran into, you know, they had glass separating the workout area from the fun area, and he ran headlong into it and broke the glass and broke his finger. All those great memories.
That's you kind of buried the leader in terms of you've had like terror at some of these places.
Hey, you know, that's the joy of the thrill seeker. You're gonna have high highs and low lows. You're gonna find love. You're gonna find failure. It's the stuff of life.
These are the
Fabio
theme parks
famously. We didn't even get to it, but Fabio famously on the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Beast?
He's on the Beast, and I believe double check me.
Oh, this is the bird.
He was on the Beast and was struck by a bird in the nose, bloodied his nose. I believe he had to have some kind of cosmetic work. This was the tabloid stuff of Cincinnati, Ohio, for not just national news, but it was like fever pitch in my hometown.
This image is ingrained in me, but
I hate to do this.
Uh-oh.
Busch Gardens.
Oh, no. No.
Busch Gardens roller coaster.
No, this kills me.
What city?
What
is it
city?
At least in Dave's
this
home?
This was like the God. No, Busch Gardens, we don't have... That's St. Louis or... Is that St. Louis?
It was Apollo's Chariot, which is... Hold on.
This is on the level of finding out that Marilyn Manson's drummer couldn't suck his own dick or whatever. Like, this is like the stuff that like was passed around my high school.
Oh, that's the Busch Gardens I used to go to. Yeah.
Oh,
that hurts so bad.
Oh,
I'm going to get
I'm
tweeted
so sorry.
At.
Jason is beating
so
you now.
Faced.
Jason has more cred all of a sudden.
Jason's pumping his fist in the air.
Oh, this really was like the story of like it was told to me. So this is secondhand that this happened. It shows how the internet has changed my life.
Yeah.
Because I just took it at face value. But I've thought since the age of whenever that happened, that happened in my hometown.
Dave, oh, if no. it makes you Sorry. Feel any better, this when we did the Hershey Park episode, I found out I had been singing the Hershey Chocolate World song wrong for years.
That makes you feel no better. All I've got is your pain.
But it's not a competition. We can help each other deal with these things and grow.
I feel like a fraud.
But I throw into this also the revelation that Neil Armstrong is not as brave as me, Scott. your state is losing cred left and right.
What are you
going
to tell me next? Butt water was made up?
It was other kids. You weren't asking the question.
I wanted to make sure that there wasn't another incident where he got hit in the face with a bird, and there's not.
Has
so.
Fabio ever been to Cincinnati?
Okay, I'll look up Fabio.
No, I feel bad I didn't cross... Like, everything else I've talked about, I kind of had to double-check myself. That one I, like, took for truth.
Wow. Boy, well, Fabio has been to Port Washington, the city where Step by Step is set. Or at least fictionally he has. He went to visit his friend Bronson Pinchot, the hairdresser.
Now, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, doesn't it? I mean, that's your general region. And I wasn't filmed there, and everybody I'm referring to is fake. But I hope you feel good about it. How can we rescue you? Is there something we haven't talked about?
One thing I guess I'd want to get out to the ride community is, like, right now, unless I'm also mistaken, Kings Island does not have what they call a giga coaster, right? Isn't this like a...
Is that a new term?
I think... I thought I could go out with something good.
Maybe you stumped.
You
might have stumped
good.
Us. This doesn't mean...
Well, I think I'll one of them is called like a hyper coaster, which are like the super tall ones now. But I don't know. I haven't heard of giga coaster.
In all my little browsing yesterday, I read this
a giga... You're right. A giga coaster is a roller coaster that's between 300 and 399 feet tall and completes a full circuit.
So this was like the one critique of a couple of ride heads that had visited Kings Island of like, this park is perfect. It's this away from being like world class.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to begin in a heartfelt appeal to the ride community.
Right.
That we stir up the interest.
To get that giga.
For Kings Island, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Giga coaster, you need it more than ever.
It looks terrifying.
Is there one in the United States? Do we have an example of what a giga coaster is? Again, listeners potentially screaming. If we haven't by now established that, I think we're not a major coaster related podcast, partially because we are too scared to go on many of them. Mm-hmm. But also, this is what I want to say about Kings Island is that I think they're like we covered Kennywood and we covered Hershey Park, and I'm sure a lot of those coasters are really good, but they don't give you a lot to talk about. And I think there's lore to these Kings Island coasters. There's premises that are pretty neat. We actually didn't talk about Face Off,
right,
which is like a ride that goes for like it goes one way and then goes back the other way. And you're facing other people.
Another
while
good
you
ride,
do it, fade, you go back to back.
Good ride, bad movie again. Or okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was also a Congo-themed water ride. There was just like a bigger, one of the shoot-the-shoot water rides, the bigger style of log flume like Jurassic Park, was like briefly themed to Congo. And
oh,
I think that
I did
was
not
easier
know that.
To
like
take
that.
Out.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah, I it's very interesting to me that you guys are afraid of these things because I remember getting over this fear at age 13.
Yeah.
But I
like
less,
I like
Jason
them.
Is less afraid than the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
I can be convinced now to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love it necessarily. But I went on stuff and then I go, oh, I did like it. So
You know what would be a great pitch?
Yes.
This I'll try to part with this. I'll fail again.
Go for it.
Okay, you know how they have you must be this tall to ride this ride. I used to be terrified of that walking up to that.
The
thought of falling short is so emasculating, embarrassing. But they could have a thing. are you afraid of this? And like an analogous thing, like if it's a kid's ride, it's a picture of a spider. And if you're like, that's fine, I'll be okay. And if it's some of these big ones, they'll like really get into your brain and like test your emotional and mental fortitude.
It's like it's a picture of like one of your evil uncles. It's like very specific.
Or like a sword will come kind of close to your ear.
Okay.
And then it's like, if you can handle that, you can get on the beast. You're going to be all right.
I think
they could pre-screen.
Just a similar thematic experience, or like a film or something.
Because I think you guys can handle all of these things.
Especially now, I feel a responsibility to the theme park community to try these experiences out. Yeah. So even though it's not something that maybe I would have done, say, if we didn't have this podcast, I do feel like it is my duty as a journalist.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like we're journalists now.
Being that we're covering this place where I went on the Racer and I went on the Beast, so I feel set. I feel no obligation to anything. It's 13 years in the past. I did it. Mm-hmm. I don't got to go on anything else. I also want to say really fast, because we got derailed just to finish the Brady Bunch tale. Robert Reed refused to go on the Racer, and they were, so instead he was just like watching the crew set up the camera on the front of the roller coaster, and he was like, this rig is too high, it's not gonna clear. He was like a notorious complainer on the show in general, so they're like, shut up, Robert, let us do our job. He walks the back and forth like next to the track and is like measuring and eyeballing in his mind, and he's like, it is never going to, like, that camera is gonna break off and it's gonna hit all of these, like, they're dead, they're toast if you don't. So after they finally relented and they did a test of the ride with the camera attached, and the car returned with no camera. It did break off.
Robert Reed was right.
Robert Reed saved the lives of his sitcom family.
Much like in the later Brady Bunch Christmas special, when he runs into that burning building and saves a whole bunch of workers. I mean, we've seen this movie. Yeah,
the Christmas movie.
In the Christmas movie later, there's a very dramatic, it's not like any other Brady Bunch episode, but he runs into a burning building and saves a couple workers.
Wow. Well,
he's an American hero.
He wasn't some fake hero. He put his money where his mouth is. Yeah,
that guy would have quit Facebook.
Damn right.
Yeah.
The online equivalent of running into a burning building. So we salute you, Robert Reed. Dave, any final thoughts about King's Island?
Just anything? A pleasure to have this walk down memory lane, albeit some true memories, some false memories. I think it was a real joy.
And set up that Giga Coaster so everybody gets new memories.
I do have the answer to the Giga Coaster. Fury 325 is the world's biggest Giga Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
It is, where is it? It's in the Carowinds Amusement Park in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We got to get one of those.
King's Entertainment.
It's in the family.
How about it?
It was in the family.
And it looks like that, and it's got a giant,
it's
a
coming.
Giant tall
it's
thing.
Coming.
Now
Cincinnati.
It's in the Cedar Fair family.
Yeah.
Just copy that one. Cart it over and give it some name that seems like it used to be a Paramount movie name. and then it'll
gone
feel right.
60 seconds.
Yeah, sure.
Is that Paramount? Probably not.
but you have to reverse engineer it. At one point, it was gone in 60 seconds. Now you have to make it.
Oh, right.
Left in 59 seconds.
You know what I learned recently? Gone in Timothy Oliphant is in Gone in 60 Seconds, I think, in a supporting role.
Go ahead.
They liked it, the studio liked him so much, they wanted him to star in a little script they had, a little movie they were making. or another studio.
Robert
they
Osborne
wanted him to be
risen from
in
the
a little
dead.
Movie. Called The Fast and the Furious.
Ooh.
Wow. Like a character named Dominic Toretto.
Wow.
So there could be a Fast... There's another...
Parallel universe
where Timothy Oliphant was not the justified character.
Ooh,
I don't not want, Raylan
yeah,
Givens.
Got he got shivered.
He was
that.
Dominic Toretto.
This for me is like you getting on the vortex, man.
Yeah.
That's how scared I am. Wow.
Someone else...
That means you're scared.
Someone else would be... in the Santa Clarita diet.
The first time you've sat up the whole podcast.
Yes, that's true. I was also sued by memories of the former Paramount Parks and all the wonderful you know, trip down memory lane.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, I know. And we'll talk about more Paramount things at some point when we cover King's Dominion. I'm sure we will. Hey, if we missed anything, you know, I feel like we missed feel a lot of pressure.
Oh, there's a lot
at these parks. To if tweet at us if there's anything we missed, and there's no reason why we can't pick up and do little
we'll do
like
another one
mini segments about King's Island.
Yeah, we
stuff.
Love when people tweet at us stuff we missed and all that stuff because there's
Cobra.
So much. What's that? What's
King Cobra, the stand-up coaster. You're gonna get a litany.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's
you'll get it. Don't worry.
First,
you get what's coming.
From the ground up stand-up coaster. Yeah. Other coasters had been converted to stand-up. This one was the first actual
stand-up. And it would have
coaster.
Needed a Carlson cutout from what I remember.
Mm. Yeah, they're not pleasant coasters. That's my thing with coasters. I like riding coasters, but as a man who is 5'1", sometimes those shoulder harnesses,
don't hit
my
right.
head bounces yeah. around in them.
Ooh.
Yeah, it is bad.
Incredibly unpleasant. And we also didn't really get into Tomb Raider, which is the scariest ride I've ever been on. Just really quick, it's like you sit in theater seats, but there's like a harness over you, and you really don't understand what the ride mechanism is when you get on, because I certainly would have run screaming if I knew what it was going to be. But it's then the entire theater like moves forward, and you're on a pendulum and a big arm, and you don't even realize, and you're swung up at big stalactites, and then you're looking down. There's like geysers. You didn't go on this one, or you went on the Crypt when it was more.
Yeah, it's been a while.
The general tenor of the screams on this thing, I could tell I was not the only one who like didn't understand what
ready.
It was. They didn't convey because it was not fun screams. It was like genuine pure horror.
If they had the Ferguson test at the beginning, you would have been fine. I don't know what to tell you.
What is like Tomb Raider?
It's essentially the mechanics are just like a carnival ride. Like it's a popular kind of carnival ride, but it's just like in the dark and heavily like themed, a lot of effects and
but
stuff.
Once combined with the general idea of raiding a tomb, it's 10
terrifying.
Times more so that's what you like the sign should have said.
It's
like,
spooky.
Could you it's scary. Could you handle like a spider web with two spiders in it? If not, may want to leave. Well, Dave Ferguson, you've survived Podcast the Ride.
All
thank
right.
you for being here. Anything you'd like to plug?
No, I don't got anything, man. I look forward to that feeling you get when you get off every ride where you feel like shaking and you want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Getting back to your holodome that's being torn apart by a tornado.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
I'll see you at the Holodome. That sounds great.
That's a good call. Well, we've done these things. We hang out at hotel bars once in a while. Maybe the next one's got to be at the Denver Holodome. listeners who have an in there, let us know. If you're listening, check out ancillary content on our Twitter at Podcast The Ride.
Yeah.
Not on our Facebook group, damn it. The heroes are marching on.
Yeah, we're all out of there.
Do we have one, though, actually?
I registered one right when we first started and really haven't done anything with it.
Yeah, good. Heroes.
I didn't figure out the mechanics about it. I might look into it. Some people are staying on Facebook, okay?
Yes.
We're going to have to fight about this off air,
okay.
I guess.
Traitors.
Yeah, email us. Rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah, it's a great help.
Those
five stars
out.
On iTunes, yeah.
And force your parents to listen to the podcast. Because a lot of people say their parents listen, and that's nice.
Yeah,
I think parents have been enjoying it, and I think our swears have been mild lately.
Yeah, we're like a lot more wholesome than we think we are, I think.
I think a lot more, yes.
The preteen in me is just hating this.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to be so rambunctious.
Dave has made a fist and is punching it into his other hand, which is open but kind of a little closed. You know, that classic bully move.
I'm fired up.
They haven't talked about any bases this entire pod. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
So
bye.
Long.